Today's daf is Menvav. We're going to start right at the bottom, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Before we do that, we just have to go back to the Mishnah briefly. At the top of the page of Memhem Abet, Hapar v'ha'ilim v'akvasim v'asair em agvenet halechem v'lo halechem makvan. Okay, what you saw yesterday was that there's two different sacrifices that were brought on Shavuot. One set was the regular set of the Korbanot Musaf that were referred to as the ones in Chumash HaPikudim and Sefer Bamidbar. And then the others are the ones mentioned in Vayikra, which we read yesterday, about the ones that went along with the Shtei HaLechem. Okay, so along with the Shtei HaLechem went seven kvasim, a par, and two elim. Okay, those were all brought for a korban olah. And then there were two kvasim that were brought as a shlamim. Did I say that right? That it was all brought as an olah? So they were all brought as an olah. And then there were two kvasim that were brought as shlamim that went alongside with the shtei halechem. And the whole thing went with the shtei halechem. And that's going to be part of the question today. If all of these are connected with the shtei halechem, there were the seven kvasim, the two elim, and the par that were brought for the korban olah. And then another two kvasim that were brought as a korban shlamim. The two that were brought as a korban shlamim seem to go much more connected with the shtei halechem, as we're going to see in a second. Okay, so here they're saying, the Mishnah starts off and says, hapar v'ailim v'akvasim v'asair. Ah, right. And then you brought, I knew I was missing something. The seir is imachad l'chatat, that we always bring on all the regalim and on Rosh Chodesh. All of those things, okay, not yet the two seirim, but the ones that are brought for olah and for the chatat, ein ma'akvin et ha'lechem. If you don't bring those, you can still bring the lechem. Those are two separate things. V'lo ha'lechem ma'akvan. Ha'lechem ma'akev et ha'kvasim, ve'ein ha'kvasim ma'akvin et ha'lechem, divrei Rabbi Akiva. But then we have a debate about... So there's a debate between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shimon ben Nanas about whether the lechem is ma'akevet ha'kvasim or the kvasim are ma'akvimet ha'lechem. Okay, so ha'lechem ma'akevet ha'kvasim ve'en ha'kvasim ma'akvimet ha'lechem divrei Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva says the lechem prevents the sacrificing of the two kvasim, but the kvasim are not ma'akvimet ha'lechem. Okay, so according to Rabbi Akiva, let's just put this into other terminology, the lechem is the ikar. Okay? Because basically what he's saying is, even if you don't have the lechem, you can't bring the kvasim. But if you don't have the kvasim, you could still bring the bread. Okay? Meaning the bread can be brought b'fnei atzman. Rabbi Shimon ben Nanas says the exact opposite. Okay? He says, lo ki ela ha'kvasim ma'akvin et ha'lechem, v'ha'lechem eino ma'akev et ha'kvasim. Okay, the kvasim is the ikar, right? Normally, you would say that the kvasim are the ikar because the animals are always the main offering. We've seen that until now. But according to Rabbi Akiva, the shtei lechem is this unique korban that it's the lechem that's ikar and not the animals. Okay, now comes Rabbi Yochanan and says, "I'm Rabbi Yochanan. Hakol modim she'imus kiku ze laze shemakvin ze etze." Okay, he says everyone agrees that once they were put together, I don't know if you remember this word zika, the word zika we used way back in Yivamot, about how the Yivama has zika to the husband. They have this connection, right, to the future husband, to the Yabam. The Yabam, the one who's supposed to marry her, there's this connection. The question is, when does the connection start? It's the same idea here. The kvasim and the lechemim are connected at a certain stage. Once they become connected, then both sides would agree, Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shimon ben Anas, that they're makvin. Okay, at that point, everything is makev zetze. Okay, meaning if you don't have one, you can't bring the other. There's a bit of a debate about, is that really what Rabbi Yochanan's talking about when he says akol modim? Some people say that he's actually referring to the first line, about the par, the elim, and the kvasim, and the seir, which are em makvin et alechem, and lo alechem makvan. And he claims, some people read Rabbi Yochanan is saying what he's actually referring to is that all those sacrifices are ma'akvin zeitze once who's kiku. But we're going to put that option aside and go with this option, which is hakomodim, which makes a little more sense because hakomodim is usually when there's a machloket. There's a machloket about the first thing. It was just a statement. Anyway, we're going to go with Rashi, who holds that it's referring to this. which is both of them would agree that once who's kiku, which we're going to obviously have to say, when is that? Ve'eze hu zika shelahem, shchita. Once you shech the animals, then they're already connected. Because what happens, the assumption is, if you set aside the bread beforehand, the bread has what we call kedushat damim, meaning the value of the bread is sanctified, but the bread itself is not sanctified. But once you slaughter the animals, the slaughtering of the kvasim causes the bread to become sanctified kedushat haguf, where they themselves become sanctified, and therefore at that point they become integrally connected. Amar Ula. Ula now says, Ba'u b'ma'arava, in Eretz Yisrael, they ask the following question. Tenufa osezika, o eino osezika. There's a few stages that you have to do. If you pass me a tanach, that would be helpful. Okay, it says, in Vayikra kaf gimel kaf, okay, it says, V'heinif ha-kohen otam al lechem ha-bikurim. Okay, the kohen has to be wave these lechem ha-bikurim. Notice how what he said. I'm sorry. Heinifo tama. The subject of this sentence. Okay, I want to be clear. The subject. We read this again yesterday. The subject of this sentence is heinif otam. What's otam? The kvasim. So heinif otam a kohen the kvasim al lechem habikurim. He waves them on the bread. Okay, what does that mean? It means he waves them together. Okay, he waves. Where he waves them on account of the bread, right? That pasuk is kind of connecting them. The subject of the waving is the kvasim, but it's done on the bread. Okay, so now,
because what it says in the two pasukim before, and the kraftem al halechem shiva kvasim.
Right, it also says
the kraft. So it says it twice. The al halechem.
One second. Where are you in? Right. That, but that's not the ones you wave. You wave only the two kvasim that are for the shlamim. If you're referring back to the other korbanot, which is why one can say, like you're saying now, which is all those sacrifices seem to be connected to the lechem, because it says, right? All these, right, okay, I'll read you the psukim just for a minute. V'kravtem ala lechem, right? Shiv'at kvasim tmimim b'nei shana upar ben bakarcha v'elim shnayim yula ola lahashem. All those are for Ola on the bread, Chatam v'nizkehem, etc. Vasitem sirizim echad l'chatat, then do the sirizim, and then the shnei kvasim b'nei shana l'zevach shlamim. Be'nif ha-kohen otam alechem ha-bikurim is referring to the two kvasim only. Okay, so those are the ones that have hanafa. So now, he says, now when does the tenufa happen? Well, it actually, he waves the lambs before he shechs them. So we just said a minute ago, what?
How can you actually wave a lamb?
You pick them up. You pick them up. They're small. You pick them up and you wave them. By the way, this connects again with Sukkot, because we learned the Nianua Halula from the Hanafa of the animal, the way they would do it. Ma'aleo mori molichu mevi. It's the same. Okay, so also connects. So now, the thing is like this. We said a minute ago, Shchita is Osezika. Now all of a sudden we're asking, what about an earlier stage of Hanafa, when they wave them? So now, they say like this. Pashut le midi Rabbi Yochanan. Okay, let's learn it from Rabbi Yochanan. Dam Rabbi Yochanan, Shchita Osezika. He said the Shchita makes Zika. What would you infer then? If the Shchita is the moment of Zika, then it's not going to be any earlier, right? So Michlal, from there you can infer, Titznufa eino Osezika. Okay, that wouldn't be Tznufa. So now they say, no, you misunderstood. To Rabbi Yochanan Gufa Kamibale, the question was actually, what does Rabbi Yochanan hold? Mifsha Pshita Leila Rabbi Yochanan, Deshchita Osezika, Utsnufa Eina Osezika? Was it totally obvious when he said Shchita Osezika, did he mean only Shchita and not Tnufa, the way we just explained it? O Dilma, or was it that Shchita Pshita Leila? It was clear to him, Shchita, and that's why he said, I know that by the time you get to Shchita, for sure there's Zika, but I don't know, right? Or he wasn't sure about the earlier stage. And did he say only what he knew for sure, and what was previous he's not so sure about, and that's what happens earlier, Tnufa, he wasn't so sure. Or was it that he was totally clear and he said Shchita and only Shchita and not anything previously? So that was the question that Ula said in Eretz Yisrael they had. They weren't sure what Rabbi Yochanan meant. Did he mean shechita and only shechita, or did he mean shechita for sure, maybe, possibly in an earlier stage? And anyway, we end with a teiku. We don't know. We don't even know whether it was obvious to him about tenufa or it wasn't obvious to him. And then obviously, whether it was or not, then we still don't know, well, what would the answer be? And if it wasn't obvious to him, then we're still left with a question. So there's sort of a double question. Was it obvious? Wasn't it obvious? And if it wasn't obvious about tenufa, then we don't know which way he would side, you know, which way we would go. Amale Rabbi Yehuda bar Chinan ala Rav Huna bar Rav Yoshua. V'ha ki k'tiv kodesh yiyah l'Hashem. Okay, this is that pasuk. V'iniv ha-kohen otam al lechem ha-bikurim tenufa lefnei Hashem al shnei kvasim kodesh yiyah l'Hashem l'kohen. Okay, the end of that pasuk says these are sanctified to God and they are designated for the kohen. Now, when do they get to the kohen? Right? They get to him for sure after tenufa, right? In other words, they don't belong to him before that. And even after shechita, we're going to see in a minute. So, ha kiktiv kodesh yula Hashem lakohen batar tenufa ktiv. That is referring to when it says they're going to be sanctified to the kohen, is obviously after the stage of tenufa, because before you do tenufa, they for sure don't go to the kohen. They only go to the kohen at a later stage. And if that's the case, that the pasuk, that they're arguing about that pasuk, and they're arguing about whether or not it belongs, whether or not there's zika or not, and that pasuk is referring to after tenufa upligi ben nanas Rabbi Akiva, and they're arguing about it. So it must be that they're arguing even about tenufa. They're arguing even after tenufa, meaning there's no zika. Okay, their argument about whether the kvasim or ma'akvim or not comes from this pasuk, and this pasuk is after tenufa, because it says they're going to be kodesh yu l'Hashem l'kohen, which is after tenufa. So then they say, but that makes no sense, because v'litamech batar tenufa v'lo batar shechita. You're going to say this is all after tenufa, but not after shechita, because obviously they argue after shechita, and according to you, when do they belong to the? It's all based on when it goes to the kohen. When does it go to the kohen? Certainly after shechita also. So therefore, elamai lech lemeimar. How do you understand this pasuk? If this pasuk is talking about that, and their argument is about this pasuk, and their argument is at a stage that's clearly before, right, before shechita and before tenufa. So how can you say that when it says, that kodesh l'Hashem l'kohen is after tenufa and after shechita? So how could that possibly be? So they say, Meikarakai. It's obviously referring to an earlier stage, before tenufa, before shechita. Umay kodesh yiyah l'Hashem l'kohen. Davar shesafo l'kohen. It means that ultimately this will go to the kohen, not that right now it's going to go to the kohen. Hachanami, and therefore you could say the same thing regarding shechita. Davar shesafo l'kohen. And therefore, you can't prove from there that they're not arguing about tenufa. That the argument is about tenufa. Okay? And that we would then know that tenufa is not osa zika, because they would be arguing about it. Because remember, the whole thing was, he said, everyone agrees about shechita, that once there's zika, everyone agrees once there's zika, that they are ma'akev, meaning there's no machloket. And then we said, is it shechita? Is it tenufa? Right? Now we just proved, as we assume it's shechita, but then we don't know really about tenufa. But this pasuk would prove, and in the end, this pasuk doesn't prove anything. Because in the end, this pasuk, the kodesh l'Hashem l'kohen, which is clearly describing a later stage, and yet they're arguing about that pasuk, doesn't prove anything, because the later stage they're talking about, potentially later it will go to the kohen, but not right now. Not in its current state. Now we're going to question the concept that shechita osa zika. Okay, shechita osa zika. Right, that was obvious to us. But now they're going to say maybe it's not so obvious. Uriminhi. Here's a bright to the contradicts. Okay, it's a bit long, and then we'll go back. Ad shelo shachata, until you shechted, and it's before shechting. Let's say we're going to talk about three stages, okay? Before the animals were shechted, nifras lachma, the bread broke. And if the bread breaks, they learn this out from the lechem apanim. If the bread breaks, then it's no good. It disqualifies all the other breads. So now we're going to say, if one of the breads breaks, then, and before the shechita, what do? Very simply, yavi lechem acher, v'shochet. We bring a different bread in its place, and then we shech the animal. Misha shachta, okay, once it's slaughtered, nifras lachma, and then the bread breaks after the slaughtering, before the zrikat dam, right, which remember is the one that affects the atonement, it's the critical part. Hadam yizarek, v'habasar yeachil, okay, the dam gets sprinkled, the blood, the basar gets eaten of the animals, but yidei nidro lo yatsa, v'halechem pasul. Okay, in other words, but you didn't fulfill the shteya lechem korban. And the lechem is disqualified. So you'd have to bring, right, you'd have to start again. It's sort of like we learned about lishma, if it was done shalo lishma, it's not disqualified in certain cases, right? But you still, you go through with the motions, but you don't yotzei yodei chobah. Now we're going to say, next case, I'm sorry, right, nizra kadam, sorry, last one, please, mishanah, yidei nidro leyatzam alechem pasul. Nizra kadam, what if the blood gets sprinkled, and then the bread breaks. So now we have some broken bread, some whole bread. Now what's supposed to happen with the bread? Some of it has to go to the Kohen, and some of it goes to the, one second, in this case, oh, you know what, my mistake. Here we're talking about, one second. Right, we're talking here, sorry, the bride to here, I believe, is talking about the Korban Todah. Let me just double check, right? Yes. It's talking about the Korban Todah. Okay, so we're switching topics, but we'll see, we're going to compare it. This is talking about the Lachmei Todah. So what happens in the Korban Todah? We have 40 loaves, then we have an animal sacrificed with it. So now the question is, what's the interplay between these two, and what if something happens, right, to the bread? So now, at the end of the process, what are you supposed to do after the blood is sprinkled? You have these 40 loaves, each of different, right? There's four different types, 10 of each type. One of each of those 10 loaves goes to the Kohen. So now, if your bread broke, what happens? You take one of the good loaves out of each of the 10, and you give it to the Kohen. So you can't give the Kohen the broken one, you keep the broken one and give that one to the Kohen.
And if one of the 40 breaks at an earlier stage, you have to replace all 40?
Yeah, then you have to replace them. Okay? Yeah, it's a big deal. Breaking. Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, Nizrak Hadam Terema Shabbat. Oh, no, sorry, I lost it. Okay. Okay, so that's what it means. Torem mina shalem ala parus. Okay, you take from the shalem and you give from there, right? You know, you take the whole to give to the Kohen. Now, that was one situation. Now we have another situation. That was all if the bread breaks. Now we're going to have, what if the bread left the Azara, which apostles it, right? The question is, at what stage does it apostle it?
Left Jerusalem entirely?
Oh, left Jerusalem. I guess because the bread can be inside, right? The bread is allowed to be even inside Jerusalem. So, Ad Shalosh Achata Yatsa. So if before you shecht it, the bread leaves Jerusalem, okay, how it left Jerusalem, I don't know, it's hard to imagine, but theoretically, it leaves Jerusalem. Yatsa lachma, machnisa v'shochet, you bring other bread, you bring it back, and you shecht it. Why is that? Because what did we say? Until the shechita, it only has kedushat tamim, meaning it doesn't have inherent kedusha. It's just that its value is holy, which means that if you take it out of Yerushalayim, it's not disqualified because it's not kadosh kedushat aguf. In order for something to be disqualified by taking it outside Jerusalem, it has to be sanctified itself, and this is just sanctified for its value. So therefore, yatzalachma hadam. Therefore, you bring it back in, and then you do the shechita. That's the easiest. Misha shachata. But once you slaughtered it, and then it has kedushat aguf. Yatsa lachma. So what happens again? Like the last situation, hadam yizarek v'habasar yechel v'yidei nidro lo yatsa. Again, you can sprinkle the blood, you eat the meat, but you're not going to be yotze your korban toda. Okay, what have you done in these cases? I sort of didn't want to say it yet because it's going to sort of explain the answer. But you're basically bringing a korban shlamim, right? Because these are a toda anyway is a korban shlamim, and instead of it's like we saw with the lo lishma. If you do a shlo lishma, so it's brought as whatever. It was anyway, right? But it doesn't, you're not, you'd say Yodei Chovah. So it can be brought, this is brought as Korban Shlamim. Va'alechem pasul, right? But the lechem is disqualified. Nizrak Adam, once the blood is sprinkled, and then it goes out. So Torei Mimasha Bifnim Al Shebachutz. Okay, so again, the Kohen gets what was Bifnim, what wasn't disqualified. And the one that was disqualified is disqualified. As long as you can give the Kohen, you're in good shape. Next case, ad shalosh hachatan nitma lachma, if before you slaughter it, it becomes tameh, the bread, mevi lechem achir. Okay, again, you bring other bread in its place. Bishochet. Okay, and then you shech the animal on that new bread. Misha shachta nitma, once it was shechted and then it became nitma lachma, the bread becomes tameh, hadam yizarek v'abasar yachel, and here there's a difference, v'yedei nidro yatsa, why is that? It works. Why does it work? Because atzitz miratzel, atameh, remember the tzitz is miratzeh, if you brought something betuma, and therefore the tzitz is miratzeh, and therefore it even gets accepted as your korba. V'alechem pasul, but the lechem is disqualified anyway. Nizra kadam, so if the blood was already sprinkled, then torei mina tahor ala tameh. Then again, you take the tahor and you give that to the kohen. V'isal kadatach, so now, what's our question here, about if you remember, we started with, ushchita really osa zika? Isal kadatach, shchita osa zika, kevan shuz keku ze laze b'shchita, ipasel lechem, tipasel nami toda. If you're going to say there's zika after shchita, what happened after shchita? In all the stages, what did we see? The bread is disqualified, but the animal can be sacrificed. Now, if they're huzkeku zelazet, the moment of shchita, and they're inherently connected, then whatever happens to the bread should happen to the kvasim or to the animals. In other words, we're going to say, and again, we've moved from the kvasim, we've moved now to the korban todah. But if in a korban todah there's zika, and whatever connects those, if in the korban Shtealechem, then we're going to say the same thing for the Korban Todah. So if the bread is disqualified, the animal can still be brought. That shows that they're not inherently connected. So what do they answer? They answer no. Shane Todah Dirachmana Karya Shlamim. The Todah itself is called the Korban Shlamim. And Mash Shlamim Krevim Below Lechem, Av Todah Kreva Below Lechem. Okay, he says, just like the shlamim can be brought without bread, since the lechem todah in the Torah is called korban shlamim, therefore they're going to say we can treat it like a korban shlamim in the event that the bread gets disqualified. This is a korban shlamim, basically, like a regular korban shlamim, which can be brought without bread. And that's why the animal gets sacrificed, but not because it's getting sacrificed as part of the Todah without the bread. In other words, and it doesn't prove anything about Shchita Osa Zika, because it's a whole different thing. Okay, it's a different reason. I'm a Rabbi Yirmiya. Okay, here come our Rabbi Yirmiya questions. Im Timtzalomer Tnufa Osa Zika. If you want to say that Tnufa, we're back to now, okay, we started with Shchita was obvious, although we just questioned it right now and then disproved our question, right? We said the question, that source doesn't really knock out that. Tnufa was left as an open question. So he says, if it's left as an open question, I want to kind of ask further on it. If you want to say Tnufa is Osazika, as soon as you wave them, they're inherently connected. Therefore, Avad HaLechem, therefore everyone would agree, right? Whether you say the Lechem is the Ikar or the Kvasim is the Ikar, and according to Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Shimon ben Anas, each one had one way that even if one was lost, you could still bring the other, right? In other words, the Lechem is Ikar according to Rabbi Kiva. So if you lose the animals, you could still bring the bread. According to Rabbi Shimon ben Ananas, if you lose the bread, you can still sacrifice the kvasim. So, they both agree that once there's zika, which for sure is shchita, maybe tnufa, then they're all connected, and if you lose one, it's gone. So he says like this. If you say that tnufa does zika, and then avad halechem, you lost the bread, avdu kvasim, you'd say the kvasim are useless also, right? They're pasul. Avdu kvasim, avad halechem, right? And likewise, if you lost the kvasim, the bread would be gone, right? You'd have to say this is no good. V'im timtzalomer, tnufa eina osa zika, but what if you say that tnufa doesn't do zika? So then, hevi lechem ukvasim, vihunfu, if you brought the bread, you brought the kvasim, and they were waved together, v'avad halechem, okay, and then you lost the bread. Okay, so now, if it doesn't do zika, so it should be okay. V'hevi lechem acher, so now you replace the bread. Right? You have to replace the bread. Now, there's the kvasim, you might have said, well, that, but if you say it's osa zika, then what happens? Those kvasim were inherently connected to the bread. The lechem is it's gone. Therefore, the kvasim are no good. You have to bring a whole new everything, and obviously do tnufa from the beginning. You have to bring the bread, bring the animals, do the tnufa, etc. But in this case, if you hold that it's not osezika, so if you brought the, so again, hevi lechem ukvasim v'hunfu, you did the waving, then you lost the bread. V'hevi lechem acher. Now you bring other bread. Now what's the question? Oto lechem, oto alechem ta'un tnufa, o eina ta'un tnufa. Why? Because what does the pasuk say? Beinifa kohen otam, take those kvasim, al lechem abikurim tnufa lefnei Hashem. Now they were waved with lechem. Okay? It happens they weren't waved with the lechem you're going to ultimately use, but they were waved with lechem. And the lechem was good at the time, it's just they got lost in the interim. So now they say like this. Avdu kvasim lo tibayelach, divadai bayi tnufa. If it was the kvasim that got lost after the waving, for sure you would have to. Why? Because even if you say, like Rabbi Akiva, that the lechem is ikar, still the pasuk about tnufa, the subject of that sentence is the kvasim. So you clearly need to use the kvasim that are ultimately going to be sacrificed. Nobody questions that. Avdu kvasim lo tibayelach, divadai bayi tnufa. For sure you're going to have to do tnufa on the new kvasim. But ki tibayelach avad alechem. Okay? But my question is, what if the lechem got lost? Would you need to do tnufa again with the lechem? The new lechem. Valiba de benanas lo tibayelach. For sure, I'm not even asking this question, right? This question has so many different parameters. I'm not even asking this question according to benanas. Why? Damar kvasim ikar. He holds kvasim rikar. If he holds kvasim rikar, for sure you're not going to need a new tnufa with the new bread. Because the kvasim are the main thing. You can even bring these kvasim without the lechem. And therefore, for sure you wouldn't need to do new tnufa with the bread. But with the new bread. Ki tibay lachaliba de Rabbi Kiva, damar lechem ikar. Do we say like this, Mai? Kevan de lechem ikar bay tnufa. Right? Because the lechem is the ikar, do we say, it's true that, right, still, if the kvasim had gotten lost, for sure, even Rabbi Akiva would have needed a new tnufa. But since the main tnufa, even though the main thing in general is the lechem, for sure the tnufa pasuk is about the kvasim. And therefore, since the kvasim were already done with, were waved with bread, is it okay? Or do we say, no, since it wasn't, since the bread is the ikar, and it wasn't waved with the bread that you're going to ultimately bring, therefore, do you have to do a new tnufa? Or do you say, Kevan de mitirin dide kvasim ninu lo tzarech tnufa. Or do we say that since, and it's, even if you say the lechem is ikar, we've talked about this when we talked about the menachot a while ago about a matir, right? That there's a matir, there's something that matirs something else. The bread doesn't have anything that within it that's a matir. Right? Like, I'll give you an example of a matir. We learned the classic example was the komets. When you burn the komets, that allows you to eat the rest of the mincha. Remember, you take the kmitza, you burn that, and it allows you to eat the rest of the mincha. The bread doesn't have any of that. The bread all gets eaten. So what's the matir? The matir is the kvasim. When you sacrifice the kvasim, you can't eat the bread until the kvasim are sacrificed. After you burn what, you know, it's supposed to be burned about the kvasim, remember there are shlemim, once you sprinkle the blood, it's really the sprinkling of the blood of the korban allows you, is the matir of the bread. So even if you say the lechem is ikar, you could still say the kevan de matirin didera, the kvasim, right, the matir of the bread is the kvasim. Therefore, and the kvasim were already waved, maybe you would say lo tzarich tnufa. And therefore, and the answer is teku, we don't know. Okay, so what Rabbi Yirmiyah is asking is sort of, he's raising all these questions. She's really trying to say, it's true you say the lechem is ikar, Rabbi Akiva, but is it ikar everything? Do we view tnufa as a little bit different? Because the tnufa pasuk, really the subject is the kvasim. And that you wave the kvasim with the bread. So there it seems the bread is secondary. So in what cases do you view as the bread is ikar? What cases do you view it as secondary? And he's saying there's different elements here. Because even if you say it's ikar, still the kvasim of the matir of the bread. So Amar le Abaye le Rava, Maishna shne kvasim dimekad she lechem umakvei. Umayshna shiv akvasim upar ve'elim delomakad she lechem veloma akve. Abaye says to Rava, there's a basic thing I don't understand here. And this goes back to that pasuk you were quoting before, Naomi, about
the,
right, there's two psukim here, right? In other words, there's ikraftem al alechem shivat kvasim tumimim b'nei shana upar ve'makar ve'elim shnayim yu le'ola la'ashem. And then, yisitem siri zimachal l'chatat u'shne kvasim b'nei shana le'zevach shlamim. And then it says, Ve'enifa kohen otam, which is referring to the shnei kvasim, alechem abikurim. So we connected the shnei kvasim, right, and everything we've seen until now always connects the two kvasim and the two breads. We kept having those questions about it, right? When we saw that, what's ma'akev, that's it. Anyway, now he's saying, why is it any different? All these sacrifices are brought on account of the bread, really. In other words, they're all brought for the shtei alechem korban. It's called the shtei alechem. It's all about the bread. So why are those things, when you shech those, it doesn't sanctify the bread? The bread only becomes sanctified when you slaughter the two kvasim for the shlamim, and not all the other sacrifices that were brought for the olah, the seven, the two, and the one, and the seven kvasim, the two elim, and the one par. And it's interesting, they don't bring up the sirizim. I don't know why, but anyway, those things. Okay, so why are those things not mekadesh lechem, and they're not ma'akev? Right, where these would be ma'akev certainly after shchita. Va'amarle ho'il v'hu's kiku zelaze b'tnufa. So he answers him, because they were put together and they were waved together. Okay, that's exactly right. The pasuk about the tnufa put them together. Since they become integrally connected when you wave them, which is interesting because we weren't so clear that it was. But in any case, you could look at Zika here as a little bit different. Maybe it wouldn't provide Zika for Ikuv, but it does. The point is, they were designated to be waved together. That means those are the ones that are connected and not the others. But if you want to say that, they question now. And that was his answer. But now they say, Vare Todah, Deloz Kekuz Elezebetnufa, Umakacha Umakva. They say, but wait. If you're going to say that waving two things together is what causes it, well, I'm going to show you another case in the Korban Todah where the breads are not waved together with the animal, and yet the sacrifice of the animal sanctifies the bread and causes it to be mu'kav, right? If you don't bring one, you can't bring the other. So, how could you say that? So they say, Ela Kitodah. They're going to say, fine, it's not because you wave them together. That's not what causes it. We're going to say it's like the Todah. Ma Todah Shlamim. What causes the sacrifice of the Todah causes the sanctification of the bread, and it's Ma'akev, right? They become connected for Ikuv. Now, if you don't have one, you can't do the other. And what's unique about the Todah? It's not waving. It's that it's a Korban Shlamim. And right, if we look at all those sets of korbanot you're supposed to bring, all the animals, there's only one korban shlamim, and that's two. It's the two kvasim. Right? We're going to say, what sanctifies the bread in the Todah? It's the korban shlamim. What sanctifies the shtei alechem? The two shlamim. The shlamim korban. So, ap hachanami shlamim. Likewise here, it will be the shlamim. Now they say, midame, you can't compare those two. Hatam lechaz vachim achrine bahadeh. That's a bad proof. Because in the Korban Todah, there's only shlamim. We have to find an example where we have shlamim and olot, and it's dafka the shlamim that sanctifies and not the olot. But in the Korban Todah, there's only shlamim. There's nothing else. So obviously in the Todah, we're going to say, that's the one that sanctifies. But here, when we have a whole set of korbanot, who's to say the shlamim is going to sanctify more than the others? So therefore, that's not a good proof. So where are we going to go to? Where else do we have a combination of these things? In the Nazir, remember he brings Olot and Shlamim and Chatat. So, Ela Ke'el Nazir. We're going to learn it out from the El Nazir, which was the Korban Shlamim. Ma El Nazir, Afagav Di'ikas Vachim Acharine, Shlamim Hu D'Mekadshe. Just like by the Nazir. Now they take it as obvious. We're going to have to see in a minute where they get this from. But just like by the Nazir, it's the El Shlamim is the one that sanctifies the breads. Remember, the Nazir also has breads. Now, we have to find an exact similar thing where we have a slew of different types of korbanot. We have bread, and it's the shlamim that is connected to the bread and not anything else. And midiachrine lo, but nothing else sanctifies the bread. Hachanami lo shna. Therefore, we're going to say the same thing here. So now the obvious question is, how do we know it's by the Nazir that it's the Ayel Shlamim that sanctifies the bread. Hataminalan detanya ve'et ha'ayel yaseh zevach shlamim la'ashem al sal hamatzot. Milamed sha'asal b'chova la'ayel. Okay, it says there, right, the ayel yaseh zevach shlamim la'ashem on the breads. Okay, the matzot. So therefore you learn that it's the shlamim that are integrally connected, and just like the shchitat al makad sham, therefore we're going to see it, same thing here. Lafichach Shachato shelo lishmo lo kidshu alechem. If you slaughtered it without the right intent that it be for the nazir, for a shlamim, and you slaughtered it, you know, let's say as it was going to be an ola, then the bread does not become sanctified. Okay, so thereby the El Nazir, it's the Shlamim Korban that does the sanctification, therefore also by us. That's how they learn the connection between the Shnei Kvasim and the Shnei Lechamim. It's something that we kept discussing, and it was so obvious to us, but we didn't really know why it was so obvious to us. It was just so obvious to us because it was so obvious to the Mishnayot and the Gemara. But now they're coming up to where we get it from, and it's all learned out from Nazir. Tana Rabbanan. Okay, according to Rabbi Akiva, remember, the lechem is the ikar, which means if you lose the kvasim or they get disqualified, you can still bring the breads on their own. So now, through Rabbi Akiva's lens, we're going to have this brayta goes through his viewpoint, which is shtei alechem haba'ot bifnei atzman. So if you have a case where you're going to bring the shtei alechem by themselves because you lost the kvasim, okay, and they can be brought because it's not makev, yunfu, what do you do with them then? Okay, you're going to wave them. Now, normally you'd eat them, but in this case, you're going to wave them. You do the waving, fine, that's good, by themselves without the kvasim. But then you're going to leave them overnight, what happens when you leave them overnight? They become pasul, right? Because they're sanctified. Then anything you leave overnight and don't deal with it properly becomes messed up, you know, disqualified. And then you burn them. So now there's going to be a big question about this. Manafshach, and it's either way you look at it, it doesn't make any sense. Ila achila atyan, why are you bringing these shtei alechem? Normally you bring them la achila. In this case, you don't have the kvasim anymore, so you bring them anyway. Now, if you're bringing them for the purposes of eating them, then why are we burning them, right? Lichlinu, then you should be able to eat them. Ila shreifa atyan, and if you're supposed to bring them to be burned, as we've seen lots of things that get burned, because that's, right now you're left with a weird situation. The shtei alechem can't be done the way it's normally done because you don't have the kvasim. But yet, according to Rabbi Akiva, it could still be brought. So the question is, brought for what? Is it brought for eating or is it brought to burn? Right? There's all sorts of, like, the kmitza gets burned. So if it's getting brought to be burned, then what should you do? L'srafinu la'altar. Burn it immediately. Lama lehui bortzula. Why do you have to wait until it gets pasul overnight? I'm a Rava. So Rava says we're going to have three answers, even though there's really only two options, right? We're going to have three answers, okay? Obviously, within one answer, we're going to have two different ways of looking at it. Lo'olam la'achila atyan. It's clearly brought for eating purposes. But why do we burn it? Gzera shema yizdamnu lehen kvasim l'shana ba'ah. Maybe next year, and as what do they think? Maybe there are no kvasim to be brought. Okay, so they don't have kvasim or they don't have money for it. But let's say next year they can. This is a classic problem, right? Next year, what will happen? Yomru, right? I remember being in shul yesterday, and people couldn't remember which way does it go and which goes on which side of the lulav and which hand you hold the etrogim, right? It confused everybody because it's once a year, and who remembers? So what's going to happen? What are they going to remember? Yomru, eshekal lo achanu lechem below kvasim. Achshav nami nechol. I have to read it rhetorically. Lochanu lechem below kvasim. Didn't last year, right? We didn't eat bread without kvasim, meaning we ate bread even though we didn't have the kvasim. Achshav nami nechol. So why don't this year we can eat the bread? We don't have to bring kvasim. In other words, this year they didn't have kvasim, but the following year they do have kvasim. They're going to say, "Oh, I remember last year we ate the bread without having any kvasim, so maybe we don't need it." V'inu lo yade, and they're not going to remember. De'eshkat lo chavu kvasim. They didn't remember, right? They might not remember that last year it was a shat hadchak. There were no kvasim. There was nothing to do, and that's why they did it. And therefore, inu sharya nafshayu. They're going to allow themselves hashad de'ika kvasim. Kvasim udesharila. Right? But it's really, now that there are kvasim, it's only the kvasim that matir the bread. So therefore, we're worried about a problem, and therefore we burn them, but we can't burn it right away because they're supposed to be eaten. Something that's supposed to be eaten, you can't burn. You can only burn it once it becomes disqualified, so you leave it overnight to disqualify it. So it's like a gzera d'rabban. Amar Rava b'nam min ala. Where do I get this from? Ditznan Amar Rav Yehuda he'i ben buchri b'yavneh. Kolk, and as, how do I know that there's, I'm going to bring a source that shows that it can actually be eaten. Because he was me'i b'yavne. Kol, we learned this the other day. Kol kohen sheshokel eno chote. Any kohen who gives machatzit shekel is not doing something bad. Amalur Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai, lo, no, you said it wrong. Ki ela kol kohen she'eino shokel choteid. Any kohen who doesn't give a machatzit shekel is a sinner. In other words, it's not like if he wants to, he can. He has to. Ela, shakohanim dorshim mikraz el atzman. Remember this, the kohanim made their own drasha thinking they were patur. What was it? You see to what extent people will try to get out of paying money. V'chol minchat kohen kalil tiyeh lo te'achel. Any minchav a kohen is, goes up, burns entirely, can't be eaten. Ho'il v'omer v'shte alechem v'lechem apanim shalanu hen. Shalanu hen. If we give money to the machatzit ha-shekel, then we're going to, basically the omer, the shte alechem, the lechem apanim are going to be called minchat kohen because we have a part in it. And how are people going to be able to eat it? Because any minchat kohen has to be burned entirely. So now, these things, shtei lechem isn't generally called a mincha. So they're going to say like this. Hani shtei lechem hechidami. What's this case? And what's obvious here is that the shtei lechem get eaten. But what kind of shtei lechem is called a mincha? He's going to say like this. If it's shtei lechem that comes with a sacrifice, because there's kvasim there, atu toda v'lachma milo medavne kohen v'achlelehu, it can't possibly be they're talking about that, because that's just like the toda and it's lechem. And of course the kohen can say, I want to bring a korban toda, and he brings another, that's not called a mincha. That's just a regular korban. The shtei lechem with its animal sacrifice, that wouldn't be what we call a mincha. So therefore, that can't possibly be. It must be that when it comes by itself, it's called a mincha. In other words, in a case where there's no kvasim, and what they were referring to is, if the shtei lechem were to be brought without a korban, then it's eaten. And if we bring the machatzit shekel, we're not going to be able to eat it because it's going to be owned by us and it'll have to all be burned. So what do you see from here? Right? And he proves, that proves that you can eat the shtei lechem. That's what he has to say is, number one, the shtei lechem referred to there, that we call a mincha, can only be a shtei lechem that doesn't come with an animal sacrifice. And then, you say, from according to the source, it obviously was eaten. So there you see that potentially it could be eaten. Then there was a gzeira d'rabbana not to eat them because they didn't want people to make that mistake. So we'll end with this. Amar le'abaye, ulalam b'ba'otim azevach. He says, no, 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 that's not a proof at all. It's referring there to ones that go with a sacrifice. How do you de kakash lecha mitod v'lachma lachmei toda lo ikre mincha? If you're going to learn it from lachmei toda, and lachmei toda aren't called a mincha, he says. But no, you can't say we're going to learn it from there. Kashtei lechem ikre mincha shneamar b'hakrivchem mincha chadasha l'Hashem. Says it says explicitly in the pasuk about the shtei lechem that you're makriv mincha chadasha l'Hashem. It's actually referred to as a mincha. So there you see, shtei lechem even with the zevach is a mincha, and that disproves Rabba's proof. Okay, so we started with one answer to why, remember our question was, why either it should get eaten, if it should get eaten, it should get eaten. If it should get burned, it should get burned immediately. Why do we do this in between? We don't eat it and we leave it overnight to burn. According to Rabbah, it's really, it should have been eaten, but we're worried people will get confused and therefore, for the following year, and think that you could bring it without kvasim, and therefore we leave it overnight till it's pasul, then we're allowed to burn it. We can't burn it immediately. Tomorrow we'll see two more answers.